Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. Today's another AMA episode, that is, Ask Me Anything. If you've got a question you think is going to be of general interest, send it in. I'll answer it live on the air. Send your questions to Victor at victorjm.com. That's Victor at victorjm.com. Adam from Riverside, California asks, what is your take on NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement revision, and the long-term impact towards reducing the U.S. trade deficit? Well, Adam, that's a great question. Overall, I'm actually fairly impressed with the deal the White House has managed to extract. And I say this as a Canadian who believes that all people, not just Americans, deserve to benefit from economic opportunity. The deal was struck late on Sunday night, just ahead of a U.S.-imposed deadline of September 30th. Now, that deadline may sound arbitrary. However, Mexican deadline to ratify the U.S.-Mexico deal created the link that forced Canada back to the negotiating table. Now, trade between Canada and the U.S. has been relatively balanced for many, many years. Depending on the price of oil, the situation can swing from being a trade surplus to a trade deficit from one month to the next. By comparison, China has a $370 billion trade surplus with the United States. Many of the new provisions of the North American Free Trade Agreement bring clarity or greater clarity on the use of Canada or Mexico as a staging ground for bringing goods into the U.S. duty-free. In particular, the auto industry, which is one of the largest trading sectors between the three countries, is one where new rules are being imposed. The new rules make it more difficult for cars to flow duty-free between the countries inside North America. It requires that duty-free cars produced in North America have at least 75% of their content produced in the region and 40% of their content produced by labor that has an hourly rate of more than $16 an hour. These provisions could lead to more auto production and jobs in both the U.S. and Canada. Think of it as a cap on the amount of parts coming from low-wage Mexico. I personally see this new provision as favoring Canada at both the expense of the United States and Mexico. This trade deal also has some surprising provisions that would make labor unions happy. Now, historically, labor unions have been strong supporters of the Democratic Party. And of course, we're coming up to a U.S. midterm election. This particular deal could, in fact, influence the midterm election results. Now, U.S. dairy farmers also got what they wanted when Canada agreed to open up its markets, which limited imports of certain dairy products from the U.S. In Canada, dairy products are governed by provincial dairy marketing boards, and they have a lot of power. It's been difficult for dairy products to move between provinces, let alone between countries when you're dealing with Canada. Dairy prices in Canada are among the highest in the world, and frankly, I'm happy to see the monopoly of the provincial marketing boards broken here. There's no reason for cheese and yogurt and various dairy products to cost as much as they do here in Canada. I also believe that this revision of the North American Free Trade Agreement will play a very important role in the negotiations of trade with China. The truth is that China needs access to the U.S. market more than the U.S. needs access to China. Now, I don't consider myself to be a Trump supporter. However, President Trump has been right to focus on manufacturing as the engine for the economy. Recent presidents have focused largely on gross domestic product metrics, where in fact a large percentage of GDP is driven more by consumption rather than production. Production is always the engine of the economy. Under the New Deal, terms can be renegotiated every 5 years, and the deal sunsets after 16 years. That gives negotiators the ability to continually reset that 16-year clock on a rolling basis. That longer time horizon should be long enough to stimulate investment in production facilities. The deal also has a provision that makes it more difficult for Canada or Mexico to devalue their currency with an attempt to make themselves more competitive in the marketplace. In truth, neither country has a track record of using currency to manipulate balance of trade. Nevertheless, that potential is being eliminated. The biggest question facing real estate investors is the cost of certain materials. Structural steel and softwood lumber have recently been slapped with duties, and prices have gone up for both steel and lumber. In fact, softwood lumber prices have increased almost 25% since the beginning of the year. That's had a major impact on the housing industry. Duty on steel is also going to impact new construction and make it more difficult for projects that use steel and wood to have a cost-effective source of supply. This could further slow down the new home construction industry. That industry has been struggling with new higher construction costs for some time now. So overall, I'm fairly impressed with the provisions of the new deal. As you're thinking about that, consider the new business climate and the opportunities that become possible. Have an awesome day. Go make some great things happen. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.